239-1310. 239-1310 is After News with Amos. Charter Schools USA is one of three takeover school operators here in the state of Indiana. Ed Power is the other one here in Indianapolis. They have the responsibility for Arlington. There's another one up in Northwest Indiana with responsibility for Gary Roosevelt. Charter Schools USA, based in Florida, was given the responsibility for Emma Donnan Middle School, Howe High School, and Manual High School. It's been a rocky couple of years, but progress seems to have been made. Manual High School went from an F to a D in the accountability grades that were released a couple of weeks ago. And I hear there's also progress being made at Emma Donnan and Howe. On our live line is Sherry Hagee with Charter Schools USA. Sherry, how you doing?
I'm great, Amos. How are you doing?
So now, I gather y'all didn't have a big party when you got the information on Manual. But is it showing that after these rocky first years, you're seeing a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel?
We are. We are seeing progress academically, culturally, across the three schools, and we're very, very proud of Manual and the academic progress they made last year.
What caused that? I understand that one of that sometimes the simple things work, and I understand that just providing extracurricular opportunities for students was able to unlock, students that said, hey, I can do the extracurricular, let me put my nose to the grindstone a little bit more on my studies.
Well, I think the extracurricular piece added the component to give the students something that they really wanted, mm-hmm. something that they felt strongly that they wanted to experience in high school. And so getting them here and then putting in front of them the choices and options about their future and really what they need to do to actually graduate high school so that they can either enter the workforce with a high-paying job or they can continue on to a college or university was really where we have been successful, driving that student ownership of their education, helping them see their future and what they need to do to get there.
You all, in presentations to the State Board of Education and to the Department of Education, have been making the case that one of the ways to help improve the academic performance of these three schools is to have the ability to touch students that are coming into the pipeline earlier, to perhaps expand the grades at Emma Donnan down to 6th and 5th, or have the ability to open some charter schools that would be middle and elementary. Am I understanding your proposal correctly? And if not, correct me.
No, that is correct, because when you see the data that is coming in about the students that enter with us, say, at the high school level, they are significantly behind already. And so if we would have that ability to catch them sooner, then we could continue to see more of a systematic impact across the board for the children and their education.
One of the things that came out, and it didn't affect you all as takeover schools because you're not considered charters, unlike the other schools that you operate in a number of states across the country. More than half of the charter schools chartered in our city now are considered low performing schools. That's schools that came, that hit a D and an F in the accountability grades. Based upon your experience as charter operators and one of the major charter operators in this country, does Indiana need to take a hard look at schools that have been 3, 4, and 5 years non-performing and say, hey, if you're not making the cut, get out?
Well, I think that as an organization that really focuses on student achievement, first and foremost has to be the achievement of those students mm-hmm. in that school. Mm-hmm. So you really have to look at the quality of the education they're receiving. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we set that bar very high. We have very high expectations for our students. So really, I think the conversation comes back to what is in the best interest of that child? Mm-hmm. How do you ensure their academic performance? How do you ensure that you catch them up and push them beyond grade level expectations? And so there has to be that standard of quality within the educational arena as a whole, not just in one sector of that, not just in traditional public education, not just in charter schools, but really the conversation has to be what is in the best interest of those students across the board that will help see educational reform take place.
You guys are, this will be your, is it third year of the 5 years? Boy, time flies when you're having fun.
Yes, we are currently in our third operating year.
Right. At what point will you guys take a hard look at what you're doing and make a decision whether you would hang in here for another 5 years?
So I think when we raised our hand several years ago and said, look, we think we can bring value to the educational system here in Indianapolis, we raised our hand thinking this was going to be a long-term initiative because these students need to have that hope and that ability to make choices that truly are quality choices for them. So CSUSA is in this for the long haul. We are currently, you know, working through committee meetings. We're thinking about that long-term strategy and really working to bring that to the table now, so that everyone is really clear on how to continue the progress that's been made in the schools and what that looks like long term.
Did you all give any thought, you know, Ed Power is saying, hey, you know, the economics of doing Arlington is causing us to be upside down and threatening the ability to maintain the educational quality at their other schools. So they have sent every signal known to man that they're going to get out of that. Any thought of you guys, did you all give any thought to say, hey, you know, we can handle Arlington, or you got your hands full with what you got?
I think where we are as an operator is we always say, look, we want to make sure that the schools that we're operating are high quality schools, that we're hitting our academic targets, and that we're adding a component of value to the students that we're serving. And so when that is the key point of the conversation, then we are willing to sit down and always have conversations about what is in the best interest of the students in this community. So I would just say that we're always talking about educational reform, about quality education for students, and putting those decisions first in all of our decisions we make in taking on and operating schools.
We're talking with Sherry Hagee with Charter Schools USA. Sherry was in a meeting with some folks the other week, and they were talking about, you know, how do we reduce the level of violence in our city? How do we, you know, create more positive outcomes for young men and women of color in this city? And one of the discussions was centering around, and this has even come up with our audience, figuring out new and creative ways to handle out of school discipline problems that are not crimes. In other words, not crimes that are crimes against people, crimes against property, but the kind of things where sometimes I think a student deliberately wants to provoke administration in the school so that they can have 3 or 4 days off so they can go play Xbox all day long at home. As the community wrestles with that, what are you all doing at your three schools to try to reduce the number of out-of-school suspensions? In other words, if a kid misbehaves, sentence them to more work in school.
So I think this year, as we continued our work in our schools, one of the programs that we are implementing is something called restorative justice. Mm-hmm. And we have seen that be very successful in other schools that we operate. So one of our schools on the south side of Chicago implemented this program, and they saw their expulsions, their suspensions decrease by over 50% in 1 year by the implementation of the restorative justice program. So we are implementing that in our schools here in Indianapolis, and we are looking at ways that you do keep students in school. We need to educate them. Now, obviously, as you said, there are instances where, you know, things happen that you have no wiggle room on the consequence for that behavior.
Right.
But where there are opportunities for us to change behavior with students, we need to keep them in school so that we can actually be educating them.
Yeah, I think there's a growing consensus that obviously if a kid commits what, if he wasn't in school, he or she wasn't in school, would be a crime, then you have to deal with that. But if the kid is acting up or doing those kind of things, and sometimes kids deliberately act up so they can get a 3 or 4 day or 5 day vacation. We can't do that. You know, I wish I could look funny at Drew and that would give me, you know, an opportunity to go to Hawaii for a week, but I can't do that. That doesn't work that way in the adult world.
Right. Well, I can give you a great example of, you know, we have a great SRO officer in one of our schools, and we were having some challenges with a small group of students where we needed to deal with that behavior. And so the solution was that our SRO officer took this small group of boys out for breakfast one morning before school, and they actually sat down and had conversation over breakfast about how to mediate the conflict that was going on in this group of boys. And at the end of breakfast, they sent me a picture of all of these students shaking hands, giving each other a high five, a hug, because all they needed to do was sit down and mediate the conflict with an adult. They needed to learn what that appropriate behavior of how to handle that conflict looks like. And so that's kind of that restorative justice model where you are trying to teach students to own their behavior in the appropriate way. Sometimes there are consequences, but the consequences shouldn't be that we lose the students to the streets. So that is the model that we are implementing in our turnaround academies.
So as you go into this school year, now, you know, we got this new harder, I-step or whatever, this transitional I-step that has to be matched with our, whatever we call it, college and career ready. It is in Common Core, but it really is, state standards. And everybody is predicting that the performance scores will be lower across the board. Any concerns? And you all have you all been through these transitions as the tests have been recalibrated to more difficult standards?
So I would say that nationally, part of the educational debate right now is the whole Common Core state standards debate, in which the assessment, the test, is still being discussed.
I understand. I understand that debate is heated up in your home state of Florida.
It is. It is. So, you know, when you are focused on individualizing instruction for every single student, and you are looking at their needs, their strengths, their weaknesses, and designing their educational program to meet those needs, you will see growth and progress. And so we just have to continue to focus on that individualized instruction, meeting the needs of students, and every single day helping our students understand how to track their performance, how to track their growth. And in the end, the assessment matters, but that's real world. In your job, you get assessed every single day. So we're trying to prepare our students the best we can by focusing that instruction and their educational career around what we know they need.
And you're always admitting new students at Manual and Emmendonen and Howe, and just need to show up at the school and sign up.
Absolutely. We are constantly enrolling students. We love to see students join us. And, you know, the schools are doing a great job of educating our children here and really focusing on meeting their needs.
Sherry Hagee with Charter Schools USA. They are the operators of Emmanuel, Howe High Schools, and Emmendonen Middle School. Always good to talk to you. Happy holidays to you.
Same to you. Thank you very much.